I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Narrators!
Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto. Let's have some fun today. The New Orleans Saints came into this game in New Orleans, not off a bye, but off of a Thursday night game, so it was 10 games. They came off this game, and against the Falcons, they gave up 26 points. Against the Bucks, they gave up 20 points. Against the Panthers, they gave up 22 points. Against the Vikings, they gave up 28 points. Against the Seahawks, they gave up 32 points. Against the Bengals, they gave up 30 points. Against the Arizona fucking Cardinals, the Saints gave up 42 points. They went and played the Las Vegas Raiders, the number three scoring offense in football. And the New Orleans Saints gave up 0 points. An utter and complete collapse from the Las Vegas Raiders in every facet of the game, in every element of the game, and every minute of every quarter of the game. The most atrocious, complete Raiders performance I've seen, maybe ever. I mean, we've lost by more in my lifetime, but the amount of talent on this team, the amount of points this team's been able to put up, and then just completely shitting the bed. They shit their bed. They shit everyone's bed. They shit in our bed. They shit in bedrock. They shit in bedtime. Completely shit the bed.
Yeah, I was very nervous coming into this game. I was telling our friend Brian that I was extremely nervous coming into this game because I knew how good their defensive front was, and I knew we weren't going to be able to just push them around like we did. Even though, you know, Denver has a good defensive front, we've played that defense before. It's very similar to, you know, the personnel that they've had in the past. And I was like, you know what? Kind of similar to a few years ago when we thought we were the cock of the walk when we went into Washington. And they beat the shit out of us because they had a good defensive front. I'm like, these are guys we don't really see that often.
Yeah.
And we're on the road, and I'm not going to try to make it about this, but I did say it during the first series, Carr looks jumpy. It's not good. It's not a good sign. He looks nervous. Not a good sign. And he played that way the entire game.
There wasn't a good player on this team today. Devontae Adams, best receiver in football, dropped passes, couldn't get 2 feet in on some sideline catches. Even our good linemen, like Andre James and Colton Miller, had shit games. Like giving up easy sacks, penalties. Like this line's still bad, but even like the veterans and the guys are like, all right, at least we got these dudes to like anchor it. Play terrible. Jacobs can never get going. I mean, this is on Josh McDaniels. There's no other way around it. When every single element of your team, when every single element of your team is trash, it's on the top, right?
Okay.
Right?
No. Okay.
Right?
No. Nope.
When every single element of the team is shit. Every single element of the team is shit.
I understand where you're coming from. You know, it's like you wanted to be on the fence until it was time to pick. Is it our quarterback's fault or is it our – whose more fault is it? Okay, I'm going to put it all on JMD.
It's definitely –
I'm not on the fence with him.
100%, yeah. Right? Right?
No. But you can move on. I don't agree. And then we can move on to something else.
So when the defense played like shit, that's on Carr. When the game plan was shit and play calling was shit, that's on Carr.
So we gave up 24 points and we didn't get across the 50-yard line until the fourth quarter, until our last drive. Mm-hmm. So we put our defense in very bad spots. So in other games when we were scoring, we were saying, hey, man, our offense needs to do better because we're putting our defense in bad spots. But now it's all our defense's fault. Our defense is shit.
No.
Well, our defense, offense
was
bad.
Shit. Defense was shit. Special team was shit. Play call. I'm not. You're putting words in my mouth.
No. No. I'm not. No, but you can't say everything is shit and that's all on JMD. You can't say that.
I didn't say it was all on JMD. I said the main issue is JMD. Every individual player played like shit. When that happens, you can't say like, all right, all 53 players had an off day.
Players make plays.
All 53 players had an off day. Is that what you're
players
saying?
Players make plays.
There's literally nothing that can happen on this team that's going to make you say Josh McDaniels made some errors.
Say he made errors. I didn't agree with that jet sweep that we did on 3rd and 1. I didn't agree with that. Yeah. But Colton Miller gave the worst block ever, and that blew the play up. If you would have just stayed in front of that defensive end, not even try to cut him, just kind of get in his face, we would have gotten the 1 yard. To compound that, to go for it, to do a fake on the fake punt, that was also a terrible call. I'm not saying he's free of blame here. But I'm saying is you have to execute the plays that are there. You know, and it's just – I think we put a lot more into coaching than we need to. I think coaching is a lot of it. I think a good coach can win you a game or two, but you have to have good players. I mean,
this offense has a ton of good players.
Our players need to play well. And
who's in charge of making sure they play well? Like, look, at what point are you going to start saying Josh McDaniels has to shoulder
blame? You know who's in charge? I'm telling you right now, he has to shoulder some blame. But you say the majority of it is on Josh McDaniels. No, the majority is on each individual player who played poorly.
But this is my point. All 53 players just all happen to play poorly randomly at the same time? Like, there's an element there, right? Like, there's the person responsible for making sure everyone plays cohesively is the coaching staff. That's my point. Like if just the defense was shit, or like just the run game was shit, or you know, just Derek Carr was shit, like then we can start isolating some things, right? When every element of this game was shit. Every element was shit. You can't say, look, all 53 players, you know, a bunch of them Pro Bowlers and good ones.
We gave up 360 yards of offense. We gave up 24 points despite not passing the 50-yard line until our last drive of the game. I don't really think our defense was shit. I think we were put in a lot of bad situations.
Andy Dalton looked like Steve Young. 22 of 30, 229 yards, 2 touchdowns. Like, look, man, you're right. Look, like, the offense kept putting the defense in bad situations. No doubt about it, right? No question. That's not even a question, right? Offense, play calling, like, we put them in bad situations. The offense doesn't make Andy Dalton go 22 of 30.
The offense failed us today.
Everything failed us. I'm not going to
sit here and say that our defense failed us when they gave up 24 points and we did pretty much nothing for three quarters.
Andy Dalton. He was a backup during this season.
Last week, it was on freaking Davis Mills. He's terrible. He's awful. Dude, these guys are paid to play, okay? These guys are paid to play. And when you give them short fields from turnovers and when you give them short fields from freaking –
has nothing to do with completion percentage. Nothing to do with completion percentage. 22 of 30. With his two best wide receivers gone. That has nothing to do with field percentage.
Well, your boy Carr was 15 for 26 with all
he
his
played like
weapons.
Fucking dog shit. Yes.
But you're trying to say that, look, if you want to give percentages of what problem was, the bulk of this was on our offense. Whoever was involved in that, the bulk of it is on our offense.
The offense is what needs to carry this team. We knew that coming in, right? Like the offense, like we've come in knowing like, all right, we can't rely on the defense. We have to rely on the offense.
On our offense, including coaching, including players, including execution.
Okay.
The bulk of this problem that we have today was on our offense because we put our bad defense that we knew was a bad defense in terrible positions, and they still didn't do that bad.
We know that like it's got to be like 70-30, right? Like the offense has to shoulder like 70% of the season's load, defense, whatever that number is, right? We can argue 75-20, whatever. Like, right? We know like the offense has to produce more than the defense because that's where the resources went, right?
Well, normally, yeah, the offenses have to produce more than the defense.
But even then, the defense has to look at themselves in the mirror and say, "We made Andy Dalton look like Tom Brady today." regardless of where the field position was, right? That's still an issue. It's one of 970 issues today, but it's we're going to go through all of them because they all need to answer for it, right? That is, these are all problems that need to be handled.
So,
and to just ignore it and say, like, well, no, let's just focus on the offense. It's like, no, like the offense will have its day, right?
Number three, ignoring it.
Number three, you were trying to dismiss a very terrible performance.
It's not a terrible performance by the defense. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that when your offense played just about as bad as an offense can play and you give up 24 points. That's the bottom line. Is you can give up yards up the ass. I don't give a shit. How many points do you give up? Because you don't lose by giving up yards. You lose by giving up points. And we gave up 24 points today. That's it. So I'm not going to sit here and say that our defense was trash. I don't think it was.
It was. Andy Dalton had the best
dude,
game of the
season. Dude, you get off of this, dude?
Alvin Kamara had three touchdowns. Like, how do you not account? Like, the defense had no clue what Alvin Kamara was all game. Like, literally the only guy you have to worry about on this offense when everyone's hurt, right? Taysom Hill doing gadget shit and Alvin Kamara. They had no clue where he was. He jogged into one of those touchdowns, just sauntered in because no one was covering him. Three touchdowns. Didn't he have, like, no touchdowns all season? Something like that?
How dare Josh McDaniels hire Patrick Graham, who did such a poor job coaching our defense? Josh McDaniels should be fired right now. It's Josh McDaniels' fault for our defense being so terrible. How dare Josh McDaniels call those plays, call that passing play that forced Derek Carr
I'm not going back to
throw
Josh,
in the triple
Josh
coverage.
McDaniels.
How dare everything. Josh McDaniels call that jet sweep and tell Colton Miller to fall flat on his face and not even touch the defensive end? How dare Josh McDaniels do that? How dare Patrick Graham?
This game
how
can't
dare
convince
Patrick
you?
Graham?
That Josh McDaniels is currently in over his head, then nothing will. You've literally dug your heels in so deep that a 24-0, 100% collapse. If that doesn't convince you that right now, again, I'm not saying fire Josh McDaniels now. I'm not. But as of right now, if this doesn't convince you Josh McDaniels is in over his head, nothing will. Literally nothing will. When the entire team collapsed in every facet of the game,
so
nothing will
seen,
convince
we,
you.
We've seen your boy, superhero DC4, do this consistently every single season. Multiple times a year, not just play poorly, but play very poorly on the road. And you're telling me this is a guy we can build around.
We've also seen him.
Wait. You're skating around this again. This is who he is. He's going to do this. And throwing the ball all around the field got us to what? 6-7 last year, before we went on that 4-game winning streak at the end when he played his poorest football of the season. That's who he is, man. Every one of these games that he's going to be whipping the ball around the field and looking like a superstar, he's going to give you a couple of these. That's you can't win that way, RJ. I'm not going to make it about this, and I'm getting I don't want to turn it to something it isn't, but if you're telling me, if you're trying to call me out by saying nothing's going to make – if this will make you think that Josh McDaniels is in over his head, if this game again – I've told you already, this is the sixth game in three seasons where he's looked this bad. And you're not telling me that he is – you're telling me he's a guy we can still build and win with.
I've been saying it for 100 years, and you refuse to listen. I'm willing to move on from Carr and get someone better. 100%. I'm ready.
There's but here's better, the issue. But here's
there's
the
better
issue,
quarterbacks
though.
Than Derek
but
Carr.
Here's the issue.
And if we can get one, great.
The
but
issue
your plan
is,
of
your
just
issue
get rid
is,
of him and a great quarterback
want,
will fall from the sky into
no,
our lap.
Your issue no. is you want the better quarterback to be better day one. And that's not going to happen. It doesn't happen very often, RJ. You know how we do it? We do what 80% of the league does to get a better quarterback. We move up in the draft and we get our guy. Who okay, we
Let
can't
you
look
this.
Out
Let
and give thorough.
Who
I'm not going to answer any hypothetical questions. I'm going to talk about reality, which is right
okay,
now.
Okay, let's talk about reality. Let's
okay,
talk
reality is
who has a better track hard, record? Derek
hard.
Carr as a quarterback or Josh McDaniels as a head coach?
They're both shitty.
Josh McDaniels is far worse, unquestionably. Like,
they're
not
both
even remotely
shitty.
Close. Not even remotely close.
They're
Josh
both
McDaniels
shitty, but,
has a worse
okay,
track record.
Are
right?
you agreeing that Derek Carr also has a shitty track record?
He's been to three Pro Bowls. He was three MVPs. Dude. He's had good seasons. He's had good games.
RJ,
he's won some big games.
I value our friendship way too much to have me be this upset with you right now. Okay? You will – look,
How can you turn this into a car debate when the entire team collapsed?
Because he played like shit from second one, and when the leader of your team plays scared – Your team is going to follow your lead. It makes your coach have bad play calls. Your team is going to follow the leader's lead. And when your leader from play
the
one,
the head coach is the leader, right? The head coach is the leader.
The on the field, who is our leader?
He's the head coach.
Who's
you're
the
right.
guy?
So the team's going to follow Josh McDaniels and
RJ. You're so far up your ass right now. It's ridiculous.
How can you not look at this game and say Josh McDaniels?
I'm not saying he did a good job. I never said he did a good job. I told you the things I didn't like about what he did, but the execution on the field was god awful. Derek Carr played scared from day one, from play one, and the entire team took his freaking cue from that.
So what you're saying?
It's happened multiple times, RJ.
So
I'm not
going to
play these games, RJ.
Let's not talk about the game. How can you say it's Derek Carr is more responsible.
All right, you got 2 minutes with me, bro. You got 2 minutes. If we don't move on, you got 2 minutes to make your point.
You started this conversation. You started the Derek Carr conversation, not me. I don't understand how you can say
this. You're trying to frame this entirely on JMD, but then when I challenge you, well, other people have issues too. But Joshua Downs is over his head. You have to agree with that. If this won't change your mind, nothing will. You're trying to put it all on him without putting it on him. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth, RJ. You gotta stop.
You're trying to say that this team fell apart because of the poor leadership of Derek Carr. You just said that. You just said the poor leadership of Derek Carr, the poor play of Derek Carr made this thing fall apart. It's above Derek Carr to the head coach.
It happened to the Giants last year. It happened with KC last year. The year before that, it happened with Atlanta. It happened with New England. These are road games that we could have won. Or, I mean, at least, I wouldn't say that. A couple of the games we were blown out from the beginning. But he plays bad from the jump. And the entire team looks at that and it's like, oh, fuck. We've seen this before.
And whose job is it to keep all that together? The head coach.
Bro, when your quarterback throws for 100 yards, 3.9, he threw the ball 26 times, man. It wasn't like he didn't throw the ball for 100 yards.
It was a shit game. He played like fucking dog shit. Absolutely terrible.
Two of those sacks were on him.
Come on. He was running for his life all game.
No, stop. Oh, my God.
He wasn't running for his life all game?
How dare I even question him? He gave so much of himself to this game. Here, let me give you an impression. Yeah, you know, we didn't play well, you know? And, like, after we're going to, it hurts. And, we're going to go into the film room and we got to take a look at ourselves, you know? And, like, we're going to watch some film, you know? And, like, you know, it's hard, you know? Like, yeah, I don't like it. I don't like losing, you know? And, like, we're going to get better. And, we're going to go back next game. And, it's all bullshit, bro. I'm starting to believe Florio that he's a phony. Give me something in these press conferences.
You would.
I would.
Josh Jacobs had 10 carries. Whose fault is that? Carr? That's Carr's fault?
Yes. Everything's Carr's fault. Everything.
I rest my case.
Everything's Carr's fault.
I rest my case.
There is
At what point is McDaniels on the hot seat? Does he get the entire season? Is there a point? What would it take for you to say, all right, we got to start questioning whether we fire Josh McDaniels? Where is that point?
I would say about the last third of this year. How do we play the last third of this year? We don't have to necessarily
win. So after like week 12.
Yeah. Like if we're still playing very poorly after that week, then it's like, all right, man. Like I understand you're not getting, not getting the brake speed off of you every week. But if you still are making, if you're still looking poorly, if the issues that we had in the beginning of the year are still having I don't understand why we stopped running the ball. I think that's a big JMD freaking beef with me. We stopped running the ball. That is our own. Okay, I'm not bashing Carr right now. Okay, I'm telling you right now, our only chance to win the game is to run the ball. That's our only chance to win. That's the only chance that I have confidence in, because 50-50 is not. I'm not very confident in that. And we've seen when Carr's allowed to throw the ball a lot, we're about 50-50. We win half and we lose half. Okay, and if you want to look at his overall track record, I'm not looking back that far, but the last few years, we're about 50-50.
Well, okay? We'll both agree on this. The offense is successful when we're playing complementary football.
Yeah, it's a higher percentage
Two high safeties. We feed the ball to Josh. They load the box.
Got to keep running.
Carr throws the ball, right? When they load the box, Carr throw, right? The problem with the problem that happened today was we were running into loaded boxes, getting forced into third down, and they knew the pass was coming. Pin the ears back, pressure. Carr has a shit day. Devontae has a shit day. Play calling's a shit day. It just like steamrolls, right? Like it's a problem. Like it just steamrolls into that issue. It got started that way. Like it was multiple drives. Like it finally took till week 8 for a defense to be like, we're going to load the box and stop Jacobs. And then they do it two plays. And then third and long, they know the pass is coming. Carr bad day, can't protect. Devontae cold today. And it steamrolls into the problem, right? That you collapses aren't this bad without multiple things falling apart multiple ways and hurting multiple things.
So look, I said it previously, and I'll say it now. And I agree. Koji, this is the one time I think we're going to agree. I said it to you guys in the chat. Our O-line is getting abused on everything, passing and running. I agree with that.
The
very successful teams in this league, they don't pay multiple weapons. They don't pay like 3-4 weapons. Our balance of our cap is god awful. We're paying a quarterback. We're paying a number one wide receiver. We're paying a slot receiver. We're paying a running back that is making first round money, so he's getting paid a good amount. And then we're paying a tight end. We're paying too many people offensive weapon wise to not pay our offensive line. And something's got to give. I don't know what you think. I think we got to get rid of two of those five.
The recipe in theory could have worked if Chandler Jones was doing what he was paid to do. The recipe could have worked where it's like, all right, 70% of the cap on offense, 30% on defense. We'll be selective on who we pay. We'll pay Chandler Jones to be another Max Crosby on the other side. That changes the entire defense, right? And Chandler just didn't deliver. So I think that the theoretical recipe can work, but in practice, it didn't.
You know, it's right? The issue that I'm having here is our roster is imbalanced, and it's very hard to come in from the outside when you're not used to coaching a team like this to try to implement a system that you know works, but your roster is so imbalanced. Look, we can't pay Denzel Perryman. We just can't. We can't keep him.
Especially not this version of him.
Dude, this is who he is. He can't cover. He can't cover. And in the NFL, your linebackers are an extension of your secondary. In the modern NFL right now. Mm. And teams are throwing on first down consistently. So you can't say, well, he's a two-down linebacker. No, those don't exist anymore. You have to be able to play the pass. You have to be able to play the run. You have to be able to do it all. And if you can't, if you have a severe deficiency in one of those, Abram, gone. Can't keep him, right? Perriman, can't keep him either. You can't. You just can't. It's bottom line, you can't. Okay? I would try to trade one of our offensive weapons for Roquan Smith. Because, look, where was Renfro today? We gave him all this money for the best slot receiver in the league, and he can't get open? He can't even get on the field. Mac Hollins is taking all his fucking snaps. So what the fuck? Like, why are you paying this guy that you don't even fucking play or throw the ball to? You know? You have to make these hard decisions. You can't fall in love with your players. You can't fall in love with them. He had a great run for us last year. Was the, you know, wow, he's a plucky, you know, short little guy, and he's great at what he does and everything. But you know what? In the grand scheme of things, how valuable is that? You had a Cole Beasley out there catching 80 balls a year, and he was on the scrap heap. Like, there's guys like this everywhere. You know, maybe not as talented, but, you know, like you said about Josh Jacobs, can we get 80% and pay 25% of what we're paying Renfro and use that money somewhere else?
Smart business.
Dude, out of those five weapons, we got to get rid of freaking two of them. We can't keep all five. And not, and we can't keep all five while we build an offensive line and while we build a better defense. We just can't do it.
Well, this season is, you know, essentially over, right? I mean, mathematically not, but essentially over. So now it's a matter of what are we looking at, right? I think you've got this season to not rush anything, right? Like, let's wait till, you know, a playoff caliber team loses like two of their start running backs, and then maybe you make a move with Josh. You wait for like Darren Waller to like finally look healthy and put together a couple games, and then maybe field offers for Waller, right? Because obviously is the time to get rid of him. Like, this is the lowest point for anyone to trade for him, right? That would be the worst time, right, to trade Darren Waller because his value is the least. So you wait, you know, till he's healthy, get some games in, and you're like, oh yeah, he's ready to go, blah, blah, blah. Just a lot of regression by this team. And again, like, I'm not trying to turn another McDaniels thing, but it's like, this was a playoff caliber team last year, went to the playoffs, and this year just nothing's, that's not fair. We're third in points, but it's like something not concrete, something like abstract isn't clicking. You can't be third in points per game and have a defensive player of the year caliber guy in Max Crosby, maybe the best kicker in football, and be 2-5. Like, something intangible is not clicking.
Oscar 408, you're exactly right. We did. And that luck evened itself out this year.
I don't know. I go by wins and losses.
Yeah.
And we got the wins last season. We're not getting
them. Sometimes you get fortunate and sometimes you don't. And, you know, it just seems to even out over a long stretch of time. Because look, that the holy grail, fucking Rich Bisaccia, right? He's the best fucking special teams coordinator in the league. He goes to the Packers and they get a punt blocked in the game. And they fumble punts on the regular.
Is he the best special teams guy?
He was the guy. Dude, but look, it's like what I'm saying is coaching matters, but players and execution matter more.
We've got the players. They're not executing and they're not being I guess they're not being coached. I mean, like Patrick Graham, right? He was supposed to be the guy that takes multiple weird shitty parts and can make something of it. And we're worse than last season defensively.
Yeah, you know,
it's something intangible. Like, it's something in the water. I don't know what the fuck. Like,
look, man, I'll tell you something right now. And I didn't want to
like the Raiders locker room. Like, I don't know. Like, there's something like that.
Look, so one thing that really struck me that Ziegler said in the offseason, he said, we're going to find out how smart these players are because they want smart players who can change up week to week and do different things week to week.
Is this fair? McDaniels can't fire up a team. Is it true that maybe he's just an X and O's guy and that other like human element of being a coach, he just hasn't been able to grasp? Because we were hoping he did.
Yeah.
Right. We were hoping, like, it sounds like he knew that was the problem.
It feels like the connection I feel like the connection with the players is there. I don't know that he has enough built in the tank to really, like, it's like a piggy bank. You
like get a leader trusted. Of men as opposed to like, I like the guy.
Yeah.
You know, there's like the guy in the cubicle next to you. You're like, oh yeah, Jimmy's a good dude. Like, I like the guy, but you're not going to go to war with him. Right.
Yeah. I mean,
oh wait, who said that? Hold on.
Who said Max was overrated?
Jehu Johnson, unpopular opinion, Max Crosby is overrated. He's not taking over games like a Von Miller. Is he overrated?
I will say this. Max Crosby does struggle against good offensive lines. And it's not about, oh, well, everyone struggles with good offensive lines. But yeah, you got to do at least something. We didn't even hit Dalton at all this entire game. We didn't hit him.
I think Max can be schemed. He's less effective going outside than inside. And he's the only guy you got to worry about, too, right? Like, you can, if he's the only guy you got to worry about, you can scheme him. I think Max can be schemed. And he had a couple good plays this. I mean, on defense, he's the only guy that had any decent plays. Tackle for loss, a couple other things. I mean, it wasn't.
I don't know if you saw that pass, but were you watching when I was on during the fourth quarter?
I was so happy CBS didn't switch to a more popular game, like a more competitive game, because I wanted to just wallow in it. Like I wanted to just like
that's why I went
jump
on.
Into the kitty litter box and just roll around. Just be like, yeah, let's just like get all that stink in. Let me just roll around in that stink. So yes, I watched every second of this game.
I wanted to bring this up. Waller looked really good before the game last week, but he didn't play. He didn't play this week. You think he's getting traded? We don't want to risk him hurting himself. I think he might. I really think he might.
I think it would be a mistake trading him now when his value is the lowest.
I don't think his value is that low. I think people in the league see him for what he is, and they know that we've been keeping him out for that reason. I think he's healthy. I think it's an option. Look, again, out of those five,
that would be
gotta get rid
of two. Really, really weird to like risk your record. Like Josh McDaniels is this season is his job, right? Like if this continues, like if we lose like the next like seven in a row, like right, like if we end up going like 4-13, right? Like,
AJ, stick around, man. I didn't say he's overrated.
AJ's not talking to us. AJ's talking to what's his face? They're having a comment. They're discussing amongst themselves in the chat.
No, he's talking to us.
That would be an all-time bonehead move.
Who said he's overrated? I didn't say that.
To sit Waller for trade value and keep risk losing these games, right? Like up until today, it's all been one possession losses or one possession losses. Like Waller, one guy in one play can be the difference in those type of games. And like you're gonna risk going 2-5 to like make sure Waller looks healthy-ish, like.
If you're looking to trade him,
it's not worth risking losing games for that. Oscar 408, thanks for the super chat. Let's build our team from the core. Lineman on both sides and leader on defense.
Roquan Smith sounds good. What do you think? Straight up, you freaking give Waller for Roquan. I'd do it.
Remember just literally last show when the offensive line was starting to run block better and like certain guys were starting to figure it out. Remember at the very start of the game, the commentators were talking about how the Raiders finally have their starting five. Like they finally, like we're in week 8 and they finally figured out who their 5 starting linemen are. Right. And then now after today, we're like, all right, start all over no line. Cause it was like, it was that kind of, so where are we, Soto?
We have a top offense without Waller.
Top offense without him.
Bro. Look, man, I'll take care of your headache. You take my headache. Chicago. What do you think? You need weapons offensively, a big tight end that can run to help you in these cold games. What do you think?
I do not. If they wanted to trade him, why did they extend him? Like we were both so baffled that they extended him this season. Like you're like, what the fuck are we doing? He has 2 years left on his contract. Like, why would they do that? Again, it's either you're right and it's the either you're wrong and you know he's just being weirdly hurt, or you're right, and Ziegler did the biggest fucking bonehead move you can do, is overpay this dude, make him less tradable. If they wanted to trade him, they would trade him with that super easy contract. Like, let your GM handle it. Like, get your agent and the Bears GM, let them get together, and you guys work out this contract. We're giving you a top 3 tight end on, but he's like high, like 17th highest paid.
Is he top three now?
It would be like the stupidest move by Ziegler. If it's like, oh, let's extend him and then trade him. Like, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, I don't know.
Reese Rock looking smooth. Is that a Paisley black on black vest or a shirt? Damn, he's looking smooth there. No fucking excuses. Backups won. Walk on backups. Got to win. Stop the fucking excuses for this offense. I'm not giving excuses for this offense.
What excuses?
Terrible.
I would love to hear an excuse of this offense. I would love to hear the best excuse for this offense. I would love to hear a tangible argument for, no, it's not the offense's fault. Or the offense, something happened, it was not on the offense. I would love to hear that.
Redman, Waller isn't much of a loss at this point. Yep, I agree. Look, so to finish my point, Ziegler said he needed players that are smart players, right? I think we're finding out that this team really maybe isn't as smart as they thought they were. They're not able to adjust the way that we need them to. I don't know, man. It's not good.
I think the same goes for the coaching staff and GM. I think the same goes there. Like this, how Waller was handled, trash. How the opening, you know, first few games offensively were handled, trash. Like this defense, it's slightly more talented than last season and worse. Like everything got worse. Like all parties involved.
You know, it just seems like when you challenge somebody at something where they don't excel, they can do one of two things. They can step their game up or they can shrink back. So maybe not offense, maybe not like physically, right? But maybe just mentally, maybe emotionally. When you challenge these players to learn more content and learn more things, how are they going to respond? I think a lot of these players on this team have like PTSD, shell shock from losing, from doing like they're, it's almost like the first part of Seabiscuit where he was conditioned to lose against better horses. We're conditioned to lose games like this. Oh, well, you know, they don't do well in the time zone. And, you know, it's the teams, you know, they got a couple of star players on their team and they could get right against these Raiders. Exactly what happened. And, what do you do? Is there a cancer there? Do you just kind of cut them out and start new? Like, I don't know. But I think, honestly, I think we've seen out of this main core players that we've seen like the ceiling. We make the playoffs every few years or so and one and done. And, you know, this is not just me reacting to a loss and being frustrated. I've said this for a while. If we don't feel like the leadership on this team is what we need to do moving forward, what we need to have moving forward, we identify our guy and do what the Bills did, do what the Chiefs did, do what, you know, most of the teams that have their starting quarterback do. They identify their guy and they trade up to get him. That's how you do it. And move on.
There's enough good happening on this team where it's not a blow up, right? Like third in points per game, young talent.
But it's so imbalanced, bro. There's so imbalanced on here. It's like, how much do you sacrifice and what do you have left over? Like if you take those pieces away from Derek Carr, what is he going to be? But you know you can't give him that much. Like you can't pay that much. You can give him weapons like, you know, draft guys and be better about that, but you can't pay all these guys to give him because then you have deficiencies in other places, and that's where we're at right now.
Well, this is my bigger thing is like we're in third in points per game, and then this happens, right? So like in the grand, like right, like this is anecdotal, right? It's one game, right? It's one terrible shit stain, fucking pissing Soto's mouth type game, right? Just fucking hot garbage, right?
Depends on who's pissing.
Sometimes you have to pay extra for that. The other games,
Chrissy Taylor can get it.
Our offense is brilliant, right? So like we got to keep that in perspective, right? The bigger data points, the offense is third in points per game, right? Good, and that's without basically completely without Darren Waller, right? We got to remember that when we say like, oh man, like because we get emotional about these losses, right? Like Kansas City last year, we're like 6-7, start over, trade everybody, season's over, right? And we bounce back and go to the playoffs, right? Same thing here, third in points per game. And then this happens. Yes, there are systemic overall major problems with this roster. I think there's major issues with this coaching staff. But this was one atrocious shit stain game when we've done so much good in specific areas leading up to it. And it's important to remember that. Like, address the grand issues and not overreact to this terrible, awful, piss in my face shutout. That's a possibility, but it's
also possible that this game highlights what's wrong with our team, and we just can't cover up the stink anymore.
But third in points per game, it's like it's hard to like say it's a stink. Like if we were 12,
look, we can both agree that despite we're third in points, our offensive line is not good. Okay, so we can agree with that.
Well, time out. I'm not. Let's remember our conversation literally last show when we were asked, like, is our line actually set? Like, we're fine at left tackle, we're fine at center, we're fine at left guard. Now it's just kind of right. Remember, we literally had this conversation.
The entire right side is bad.
Right side's bad. Today, center and left tackle, like the foundational pieces were bad, right? So like that's kind of my point. Like,
but that's the
even
thing
the guy, like, even Colton Miller, Andre James, we both agreed like we're set there, we're good, right? We've been saying that for a season and a half. Today, the whole unit played bad, and now we're kind of thinking blow up the O-line. Literally, just 4 days after saying 60% of the O-line set, right? Okay. So that's what I'm saying. Like, let's remember that context when we talk about it.
Yeah, but what about this? What if our center and left tackle aren't as good as we thought they were? That could be also an issue. That could be a reality as well. But that's what I'm saying is don't fall in love with your players. The problem that we do a lot, I think, is because we've been bad for so long and we have these little spikes of success, is when we have a player that's been better than we've had for a while, we're like, oh wow, this guy's amazing. Like, I never wanted to fucking sign Renfro. He's a dime a dozen, man. He got fed a ball in a choice offense that's suited for him. If you can get,
because his competition was Zay Jones for targets.
Yeah,
that's
why he's getting fed the ball so much.
He's getting rock.
Look, it's a mistake to pay him as much as we did. Don't fall in love with dude. I just said that right now, Oakland fan. I was just to say that. Don't fall in love with average. We have to take a look at this team, and we think our team is better than it actually is. I think last year we were very fortunate on a lot of these games, played poorly. We didn't run the ball all that well. Okay, but not great. We didn't play great defense. Okay, but, you know, they did better than they did in the first half of the season. Our quarterback didn't play all that well, probably had arguably one of the worst stretches of the season. And we ended up winning those games anyway against superior teams. You can't sustain success by that. And you have to take a look at the overall talent of this team, which is not that good. It's very imbalanced. It's super imbalanced.
Here's an example. Here's a thought game.
Hang on a second. This guy over here. Yeah, Alex goes Passaccia. That's why he's killing it over in freaking in Green Bay, getting punts and kicks blocked every game. Get out of here.
Look, we won't know if they should have kept Rich Passaccia until the Josh McDaniels thing is like either over, right? Like, if McDaniels, look, I there's still a glimmer of hope in me, right? It's hard to do it after a loss like this. I'm not giving up on Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler right now. They, you know, you don't turn over an entire staff and say like, all right, you got seven games to prove it, right? Now they're shitting the bed and it's inexcusable and they should do better, but it's not a move on timeline, right? It's not a move on timeline. They need to get their fucking shit together. It's unacceptable, but the consequences aren't dire at this point, right? We won't know if the Passaccia move was right or wrong until, like, you know, maybe a few seasons, right? Certainly not right now. Certainly not after 7 games.
This next season, we'll find out. Like, if nobody gives him a job, it's a reason for it. There's a reason nobody gave him a job.
But there's often a lot of things, like, things that sink. You know what I mean? Like, you know how it is. You can't always just plug and play a coach into every different circumstance and they're going to be successful, right? Like, where would the Patriots have been if he failed at the Browns, right? Like, you've got the greatest, or one of the greatest NFL coaches of all time with the Pats, shit the bed with the Browns, right? Like, fits matter, right? Maybe Rich Passaccia just fit with this team and there was a winning formula and the recipe was there, right? Like, that's certainly possible. That's certainly a very feasible thing, that there was a winning recipe with Passaccia and this team and it could have been sustained. The track record was there for one season, right? Got us to the playoffs for the, you know, second time in 20 years. Like, that's undeniable. Whether it was, you know, you think it's luck. I think everything meshed. I think it was a perfect match and it meshed together well. That's probably a combination of the two, right? There's a great, you know, there's got to be a gray area there. It's not outlandish to say that I think Rich Passaccia should have stayed. Like, I'm not backing it, but I don't think it's just like that fucking nuts. But going back to your point, right, where it's like maybe the team's just not as good. Davante Adams, do you still think he's the best receiver in football?
I do.
Okay. I do too. He had a terrible game today, and it was partly bad play calling, Carr playing like shit, and he played like shit. right? Couldn't get his feet in, dropped a pass, couldn't get open. They had a rookie on him for several plays, and he couldn't get open, right? So, like, Devontae had a bad game too. And so that's my point is, like, you could be right, Soto, in that this team just isn't as good as we think. And Colton Miller, maybe he's just average or below. Derek Carr's trash. Just, you know, he's sparked sometimes, but not good. All this shit, right?
I never said he was trash. He's average. He's an average quarterback.
I'm speaking in crazy absolutes to make a point.
Okay.
Devontae Adams played just as bad as anybody today, but we still think he's the best wide receiver in football. So that's my point is that there's something – you're right. There are clear holes in this roster, but there's also something intangibly wrong with what's happening right now. When Devontae fucking Adams plays as bad as anyone else on this team today, like something happened today on the plane ride here in preparation, something that's been brewing for a while. That's came to a head when all 53 players played awful, including guys we unanimously agree are amazing, like Devontae Adams, like that's my point. So like, you're right, Soto, like let's start balancing out this roster. Let's start making sure the salary cap gets to places where it needs to go. We have to clean up the mess that Ziegler made with Waller. And I'm not as hard on the Renfro signing as you are, but it's starting to look worse and worse. Like, all these things are true, but there's also something I think bigger here. When Devontae, he can't throw himself the ball, but he can also get open. He can also get both his feet in. He can also not drop, right? Like, he did those things too today. And he's the best receiver in football. We both agree. We're not doing him any favors with play calling and passing by Carr today, but yeah, his opportunities, he shit the bed like everybody else today.
Yeah.
And that's even more frustrating when it's like you can't put it on a specific player. There's something bigger you can't put your finger on. Like, that's what's scary. Like, what's making Devontae suck? That's a scary thing to try
something's
to figure
going
out.
Something's going on in that locker room, and we've seen it multiple seasons. It's not about the head coach. It's not about, dude, there's something going on in that locker room that saw back-to-back season collapses. And last year, it was a new voice that was almost like, who gives a shit how anyone plays? We just got to go out and win the game. And I don't know, man. I don't want to get into it with you. You know how I feel. I just think it's for the long term. Because look, there's the short term and the long term. Short term, yes, we're scoring.
Let me agree with you real quick. Like, it could be that whatever the stink is that's making everything fall apart, it could be Carr. I don't think it is, but you can make that argument.
But why would I say after a couple of throws that Carr's going to have a bad game? I've already seen this fucking unfold before. On the road, throws is jittery in the pocket, and his balls are high. It's like, I've seen this before when he starts games, and it doesn't get better throughout the game. Mm-hmm. You know, I said it right away. I was like, oh, shit, dude, look at this. Because of this, this, and this, I don't think he's going to have a good game today.
And to be fair, I said the same thing about McDaniel's play calling in my head, too. I'm like, dude, what the fuck was this? This, like,
Omar with the $5 super chat. I was against getting at Adams because I felt we had too many holes. The passer stream didn't do us any favors by tossing six draft picks. I say draft a quarterback. Thank you for the $5 super chat. Much appreciated, Omar. You're always one. You're always here supporting us. I appreciate it, man.
Well, there's two ways to look at it. There's two ways to look at it. Real quick before we move on, because let's address the super chat. There's two ways of looking at it.
Okay.
Would we have drafted with those two picks, those two players, would we have gotten someone combined better than Devontae Adams? I don't think so.
Well, he said six picks, so it's like, I think he's talking about Cleveland Farrell and talking about Abram. Well,
it's a whole new regime, so it's, you can't compare. Like, it's, yeah, you know, yeah, it's
hard.
It's hard. You want to compare because the Raiders have been terrible drafters for so long, but if they're terrible drafters, it's a whole new problem. Like, it's because
when did Ziegler's we ignore your draft. Super? Hang on a second. Did we ignore his super chat? I don't think we did.
No, we didn't. We've gotten to all the super chats.
London Raider, hang on a second.
I'm calling bunk.
No, we talked. That's Oscar. Hang on.
No, he's full of shit. Nice try, London Raider.
I'm looking here.
No,
it is.
We put this up. Have a beer on me, Soto. No, we put this up. We're putting up with
BS.
Although I will give London Raider credit. He got his chat up twice by claiming we didn't put it up once. So Bravo on you, London Raider.
Hang on. There was a good one here. Soto and RJ need to grab a drink and realize both Carr and JMD are not good enough. I'm willing to concede if you are.
I think this all comes down to like we're both like 85%.
I'm willing to concede if you are.
Well, look, I will say this. I think we're closer on Carr than we are on Josh McDaniels. I still think that we're 85% on what Carr's good at, not good at. We vastly disagree on what to do about it, right? I don't want to risk quarterback purgatory. And you say it's worth the risk. I say it's not worth the risk.
But RJ, hang on a second though. Whenever you say quarterback purgatory, how do you know we're not in quarterback purgatory now? Because purgatory is not knowing where you are, but you actually are there. That's purgatory.
Well, and it's not purgatory because we both agree he's a top 10 to 14 quarterback. You've said that all season long.
Yeah, but who wins the Super Bowls? Top 7, 5-ish? Those are the guys that are consistently in the end.
Stafford won last year, and he's there.
He's 7-ish?
Oh, he's top 10 to 14. He's not.
How did he play last year?
10 to 14? Yeah.
D-Nice 41.
I'm in quarterback purgatory.
We're in quarterback purgatory right now.
Now I'm a 10 to 14 quarterback.
Look, man.
That's not purgatory.
It's just not good enough. It's not good enough. That's, again, don't fall in love with average. It's just not good enough. I am saying, if you say, you know what, it didn't work after 9 years, it's not going to work. I've seen what I've seen from your past, dealings every season that you've been away, whether you're an offensive coordinator or a head coach. Whenever you're not with Bill Belichick, you're not successful. Done. Both of you are gone. Let's move on. I will take that.
I will not make any. Look, the judgments and the hate and the anger is going to come day one with the results, but the consequences I will ask for, I will reserve until at least into next season, right? You got to at least give a whole new regime a season to like start clicking or something like that, right? Like even like look at McDaniels when he was with the Broncos. Did they start off 6-0? Started with like 6 straight wins, and everyone's like, oh man, this guy's amazing. He was carrying Belichick. Oh, he's the reason why Tom Brady was so good, right? In the first 6 games, everyone's just gargling Josh McDaniels' balls. And then his true colors came out and it all fell apart, right? It could potentially turn the other way where it's just starting off shitty, nothing's clicking, and McDaniels and Carr and Graham and the defense and everything starts getting figured out as time goes on, right? I still believe that this offense and team in general will improve with time. As long as people aren't just like giving up on the team, right? As long as these young players aren't just like, all right, well, season's over. I'm just playing for me now. I'm just going to make sure I get my incentives, play as good as I can, get picked up by another team next year. Like, as long as that doesn't happen, all elements should continue to improve. But whatever that stink is that caused today, that needs to be identified and eliminated. Because it was something intangible that made everybody suck from the best receiver in football to Davante Adams, to our fucking trash pieces of defense, to play calling by coaches, to our quarterback, to our line on both sides. Whatever that was that happened today. And maybe it was a hangover from playing, beating the shit out of the Texans. Maybe it was like New Orleans is a tough place to play. It is a tough place to play. And Dennis Allen had 10 days of preparation, right? It was a Thursday game, and
yeah, that's what I said. It's a tough place to play.
It could have been just like a recipe for disaster with so many things on just October 30th, 2022. It's Halloween weekend. Spooky shit's happening. Maybe that's what it was. But if it isn't, it needs to really be examined. Because if McDaniel starts losing this locker room, it gets like this. This was the best locker room in football last season, and I think it still is. And there's anyone that can, and there's any like coach that can come in and maybe not be the foundation of him, like a leader of men, a rah-rah guy. He's more an X's and O's guy, and that's his strength. This is the kind of locker room I thought that could handle that. It's like, all right, let's be that for each other and not make McDaniels be that guy. Let's let McDaniels be his strengths, and let's let us be our strengths. Bentley the gent, COVID jet lag. If it was just jet lag, gotta hope it's just jet lag because they're staying in Florida, so the Raiders are gonna stay all week because they play Jacksonville next Sunday, so they're gonna be there the entire time.
Maybe. Curtis Williams, but the Patrick Graham defense shit is not working either. Guys look lost on D, missed tackles for big gains. Teams just running the think and dunk on us. Like, oh, we think and dunk on them, just beat them. You know what? I'll tell you something right now. We gave up as many points as we normally do. Well, our defense didn't play much different than we normally do. Our offense didn't score at all. Literally did not score.
That's what hurts is because the defense is still 26th or something, right? Still bad, but we know what it is. And so it's going to lean on the offense. I wonder if Patrick.
It should, if most of your money is on the offense.
It doesn't let him off the hook, but it's like, all right, the offense, you know your role, and you obviously fucking shit that bed. But I want, because I remember you on Thursday show, you're talking how, like, all right, Patrick Graham, what can we do to fix this defense, right? We focused a lot on the defense, and it's like, let's just fucking go, right? Like, we're not going to be able to stop people, so let's go all out for the sack. Let's blitz a lot. Let's go for the ball instead of the tackle, right? Like, let's try to get the big plays. And try to
what the Saints around. Did against us, what because their second, us. Yeah,
right?
Just fucking... You know, all the even when they rushed four, it was let's go like it's a pass play and we'll just tackle the running back on the way to the quarterback. Yeah. Everything's a pass play. Just go.
That's what you're asking for, right?
Yeah.
And I was with you. Graham did the opposite. And I think Graham's like, all right, I just need to stop the bleeding as much as possible, right? Like, I just need to like limit giant plays, keep things in front of us, hope offenses hurt them. He's kind of turned into Gus Bradley a little bit. Like that's how he's been defensively play calling. Not a lot of blitzes, deep dudes. Like, you're right. He's like, someone tweeted out like Patrick Graham's choosing death by a thousand cuts instead of just getting stabbed in the heart. Right. I'm glad I'm finally seeing like a defensive mindset at a Graham. Because remember before, when we were talking about the defense, it was like, I don't even know what they're doing. Like, are we a big play stopper? Are we a turnover team? Are we a sack team? Are we a bend, don't break? Because like, we're terrible at all of it, right? Like, you can't be a bend, don't break when you have the worst red zone defense in football, right? Like, you can't be that defense. It seems like that's what he's trying to... I'm not saying it's the right move by Patrick Graham, but I think Patrick Graham's finally deciding what his philosophy is. We're going to just try to slow the bleeding. Death by a thousand cuts. Dink and dunk us. We're just going to try to keep everything in front of us. Right? Doesn't it seem like that's kind of how he's calling it?
Kind of. Yeah, he's definitely not being as aggressive as he should be, I think. I just have a different mindset because, I mean, look, ultimately we still gave up 24 points. This is kind of around what we've been giving up anyway. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, this is on the defense. No, because points-wise, we gave up what we normally give up. We just didn't score. But I do have an issue here. I saw in the chat. Rock Hill. I've been a Raider fan since '88. Raiders fans crying about Carr make it seem like we are used to better. Hostetler, Gannon, and Carr are the only QBs have ever been. Don't fall in love with your own players. Don't fall in love with average, Mr. Hill. Just because he's the best that we've had doesn't mean he's the best we can get, or that's the best that we can do. That's all I got to say about that.
During halftime, I felt like I needed a palate cleanser. So I went to my backyard and started shoveling all my dog shit because that was a better experience than watching the Raiders play football today. Glad all you guys chose to hang out with us today.
I got Soto text me.
He's like, we're only going to do like a 10-minute show. There's nothing to talk about. I'm like, well, in these blowouts, there's sadly more to talk about. Like when it's like a mediocre win or loss to a mediocre team, then that's kind of like a slower show. When we do something amazing, those are great shows. And we do something absolutely atrocious, those ironically become good shows because passionate about it. There's lots to talk about.
I'm very upset right now because we didn't discuss how much better Jarrett Stidham looked without starting weapons except for Mac Hollins.
And against and backup actually move
the
ball.
No. They weren't backup defenders.
Are you you really hate Carr so much? May was out there. Garbage time comparisons.
May was out there.
Garbage time comparisons. I got to hear it.
Linebackers were out there.
Let me hear it.
I'm just saying we didn't discuss it. How much better we actually moved the ball into, I think we were in the red zone or just near the red zone.
I dare
you. He looked a lot more confident.
I dare you to say we should start Stidham next week.
I would say this.
I dare you.
I would
say
this.
You don't have the sack.
No.
I know you want to.
I'm not. No. I'm not saying it at all.
I know you want to.
Because I know you're trying to make this something it's not. But
you're trying to make something it's not. It was garbage time.
No, wait. You didn't talk. You're still not talking about how much better and more confident Jarrett Stidham looked moving the ball than Derek Carr.
In garbage time. Yes. He looked more confident moving the ball.
Was Tyrone, their starting safeties were there. Now, they didn't have enough DBs to freaking put backup DBs in there. Their DBs who played the entire game were still there. The only thing, Cameron Jordan wasn't playing, but the guys that were rotating in, all the other linemen were playing.
I have to tip my hat to you with your commitment to hating Carr, that you're using garbage time.
Look, guys. Hey,
using
look
garbage at, time this comparisons.
This is
him.
This is RJ skating around the issue by making it about my car.
Stidham looked better than Carr in garbage
now
time.
Now you're okay, but
yes,
in that in what you call it was garbage time because you know what's going to happen,
it's
right?
Complete garbage time.
But
prevent
were the starters players not there
in a prevent defense in garbage time? Yes.
So when the
Stidham also looked great in preseason. Should we talk about that?
When
and how much better he is than Carr? Because he looked better in preseason.
This is in preseason.
No, it's what garbage time. It's the same thing.
So when Carr had the ball, the drive before, was that garbage time? It was garbage time still too. It was the middle of fourth quarter, and they were still up 24-0. So you can spin it all any way you want. Stidham looked better.
Stidham.
I'm not saying that. If you let me get to my point, I'll get there. If Carr looks this poorly again, you have to go to Stidham sooner and see if it's just circumstance, a bad game plan, a bad game, whatever, or if it's the quarterback. But now the hook comes sooner every time you see it.
There's certainly situations where any starting quarterback, from Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady to, it's like hockey, right? Like you can have the best goalie in hockey, and if he gives up five goals, like you pull him out because something's wrong, right? And Carson above that philosophy either. No doubt
why did he play in the fourth quarter? I don't understand why he played at all in the fourth quarter.
My point is, you're using garbage time comparison. Even if Stidham didn't play at all today, when Stidham played in garbage time, he threw three interceptions, right? That philosophy you described still exists. It still exists. Like, yes, like when a starting quarterback is completely shitting the bed, you move on to save him from himself. Save the team when something's off. When something's so drastically off, it's off. Okay. My point is, you're using garbage time, not usable elements.
Exactly. So that is why I'm saying, okay, just so we're all clear and speaking the same language, I'm not saying start Stidham over Carr. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, now what we're doing is.
That's two start Stidhams in the chat.
See, look, now you're not even paying attention.
I'm listening.
I would like you to pay attention, though.
Go through the chat when I'm talking to.
Okay.
I can do both.
But this is something because you're saying that I'm saying something that I'm not. What I'm saying is the next time we see this from Carr, we find out, was it just garbage time or is it time to move on? And how do you do that? You put Stidham in higher leverage situations. If we see this again from Carr.
Yeah. If Carr has shit games, get him out of there.
But the thing is, we've seen these games from Carr, and he's out there the entire game.
Why do you think that is? Do you think the reason I think that is because Josh McDaniels is like, all right, Stidham is just so much worse, right? Like, I think that's what he's thinking is like, there's a reason why, man. Right?
There was no reason for him to play in the fourth quarter. Him being Carr, pronounced Kyle.
Yeah.
There's no reason for him to play in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he was gonna get hurt.
He almost did get hurt. He got sacked, and he was like, "My dick, my pussy." No, like, why are you in there? What are you trying to prove? Are you trying to make sure that Devontae gets a catch? We didn't even talk about that third and 23 play where he dumped the ball off. That is a fucking bloody, dripping vagina play right there.
We got people in the chat saying Skart Stidham.
Because I don't feel we should.
Okay.
Look, the play that made me say, take him out of the game now, he's fucking given up, was that third and 23 when we're on our 35-yard line. And instead of throwing the ball deep to try to make something happen, you dump it off for a 5-yard gain. There's no reason to do that. No reason. Because you're on the 35. If you throw it, you can get it to the 20 easy. Even a fucking off-balance throw, you can get to the 20 with Carr's arm, okay? What's the difference if it gets picked off? What's the difference? Maybe you get a pass interference.
You jump down
call.
His throat because he threw an interception?
No, I wanted him to throw the ball. I told him, like, dude, you should check the text. Throw the ball. If it gets picked, so what? So what?
You
if
should know by now picked? I mute you during Raider games, Soto.
But who cares if he throws the interception?
Yeah.
At that point, you're trying to win the game. You're trying to win the game. You're still trying to win. What are you trying to do?
Worst case scenario, stats?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that showed me that he wasn't about winning the game at that point. There was something else in there. There's another reason why he was playing.
I mean, look, we've seen it's rare that you dump it off, right? And they can run 20 yards and get something like that. But we've seen it happen, right? It's super low percentage. But that's the decision you make, right? Do I throw it into double coverage deep and, you know, get the interception and not get it? Do I throw it to a running back and maybe he can get 15, 20 yards? Like, guys have done it. It's like, there's no right answer, right? It's all low percentage.
But I would have definitely said, like, look, man, that one of those picks was whatever. Because it's just not winning football. You're not trying to win by doing that. And that was what killed me about Carr previous, like Gruden's first season and previous, when we were calling him, and I was calling him check down Charlie. Like, in this, it's all situational, right?
I disagree. If no one's open deep, then it's like, all right, let's see if the running back can do something magical.
That's,
like,
no,
it's a
dude,
cost benefit. It's a risk reward. Like,
risk reward for your stats, maybe.
A stat thing. It's like, all right, it's wide open. Let's see if the running back can do something magical, right? As opposed to just throwing it nowhere and like hope. Like, they're both Hail Marys. They're equal Hail Marys. Yeah, I like how from Wes Williams, he threw. What are you doing, Wes Williams? He threw a triple coverage with Renfro. So what's the difference? He went 121 pass attempts, 4 games that interception. And then he throws like the biggest bone. He was so good with the ball for so long. We're like, oh my God, is this the new Derek Carr? And then he throws in a triple coverage short. It literally had to bounce off of multiple Saints to get the pick.
Larry Gann, I could tell by your picture how you feel. But no, in this case, you go for the first down. You never know with the rules the way they are in the NFL right now. Carr's pretty good at getting pass interference calls too. He puts the ball up there. You have
arguably the best.
Yeah, you have the best receiver in the league, and you have a tall receiver that can get up.
Boogie. Bet Alvin Kamara would have got a first down and check down. I guess our defense he would have.
Yeah.
I guess our defense he would have.
But no, that play right there told me.
Oh, by the way,
I wouldn't have.
This doesn't excuse Derek Carr's terrible pass, but that interception did hit the ground. When they re-showed it again, and he was holding it in two hands, and the ball moved when it hit the ground, like, that would have been just lucky for Carr. This isn't excusing Carr for the bad pass, so they're making a Carr thing. That was a bad call. That fucking thing hit the ground when they showed the replay. Absolutely, good call, JD. I forgot about that.
So, for me, once I saw that play, I would have taken him out. He's not playing winning football anymore. He's not.
Well, that's a stupid move, because a check down in Hail Mary situations is a valid play, right? Like, it's one of the ways you can score. He's done it before. Literally, this offense has done check downs and gotten 25 yards before.
I can kick a football through a basketball hoop. It doesn't mean that that's the most effective way to do it. Okay.
All the options were kicking a ball through a basketball hoop if they recovered. Again, okay, I could be wrong, right?
Okay, you have two options to get it if you throw it deep. You complete it or you get a pass interference. You only get one, and that only means one person making a play or one person making a bad play, right? If you dump a ball off that short to a running back, you're asking multiple people on your defense to make bad plays to allow that to happen. You only need one bad play when you throw it deep.
It's every single option is super low percentage, and that's the one he went with. Like that's not. He made 10, 15 way bigger fuck-ups today than like, all right, we're stuck. Let's see if this guy can win us, you know, can do a miracle for us. Like, there was way worse shit than that one. And I don't think it proved like he was off. It was just a shitty situation.
Hey, here you go. You like this one.
Dude on the right is a shithead. He won't even let the other dude finish his take. Hella rude and unprofessional. I get he's mad, but come on, shut the fuck up. It's 100% of the coaching staff. I like how we put our names up here and it's still like white dude on left, dude on right. Valerie Lynn, the turning point for me was when he ran a jet sweep with Davante Adams on third down and won and then tried to fake a punt on fourth down. That was the turning point.
That was tough.
That was the point where I was like, all right, something's seriously fucking wrong with JMD today. Quarterbacks from Bakersfield will never win anything in the NFL. MZ. What other quarterbacks are from Bakersfield other than David Carr?
I mean, there's two right there.
Quarterbacks whose last name end in RR will never make it in the NFL.
Thanks for making us laugh, dude. That shit was funny. Come on, give us some more funny shit. I'm tired of this bullshit.
I remember when you text me, you're like, oh, we're going to do like a 10-minute show. There's nothing to do. This is our longest post-game show in a long time.
My little girl knows more than you do. Well, who? Okay, first off, it's Dan. Not then.
My little girl knows more. And also, you forgot he's yelling it because it's all in caps.
Surely, it's my little girl knows more than you do. Now, when you say you, do you mean us collectively? Do you mean anyone particular? I mean, give us more. Give us more here.
Well, maybe it's an inside thing because he knows that you named one of your balls my little girl. So I think what he's saying is Soto's ball.
See what
more
she's
football.
Saying? It's Shirley.
It's sure she's saying that Soto's left ball knows more than the two of us.
Shirley would know about my left ball, I think. Yeah. David Carr is a better MMA fighter.
MZ, oh, shit.
God damn it.
David Carr is a better MMA fighter than he is a quarterback.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, Intergalactic Quasar. Her little girl's name is Shirley, ironically.
Oh, God, these are good. Let's just cut this, man.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Our work here is done. All right, we'll be back on Thursday with a regular show. We'll have – what are you going to do for the good in the good, the bad, and the ugly?
Absolutely nothing. Week? There is no good.
We can, I mean, say that
– Matt Collins had a good game. I mean
– Daniel Carlson went another game without missing a field goal. What's that that black guy mean when he's pointing to his head? You can't miss field goals if you're not in field goal range.
If you don't kick them.
If you're not in field goal range, you can't miss them, and you don't kick. That's what you should do. You should do like 10 the goods.
We have to watch this car. I can't wait for the car press conference.
I know you can't. You're gonna love it. That's appointment viewing for you. What you need to do, Soto, you got to light some candles, pour some wine, get in a bubble bath. And watch the Derek Carr presser. Like, that is your quality entertainment.
Pour some oil all over my balls while I rub them.
Rither. For the good, the bad, and the ugly, let's think of some good, the goods.
The bad, the ugly, and the fucking diarrhea.
No. Let's come up with 10 the goods. But it's got to be.
Not 10.
Yeah, there is. Daniel Carlson didn't miss a field goal. That's good. We can think of 9 more like that.
Adam Cole.
Actually, like, showed up.
Punted the ball a couple times.
An ex Raiders head coach scored a shutout.
Denzel Perryman put on the right jersey.
Right, there's three right there in just like 5 seconds. We can come up with 10. That's our homework. We're gonna come up with 10.
Wes Waller didn't drop a pass.
He did it.
That's
he didn't drop a pass
there.
In the end zone. He didn't drop a pass on the sideline. He didn't drop a first down. He didn't quit on a single route. There's like five right there.
Stidham got to see the field. He got the he moved the ball past midfield.
Right.
There's some positives.
There we go. All right, that's it for us. I can't wait to see what we come up with for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because you're either laughing or crying. You know what I mean? Either laughing through it or you're crying through it.
Well, we're doing both.
But until then, knock on wood if you're with me.